You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at Patterson Park. Here's Will Kunkel.
And Sean Mapes with the banger. Let's go, America. World Cup officially starting today. And we're just going to get right into this because we've got Glenn Davis on the phone. I shot him a text last segment, and this dude was kind enough and great enough and a legend enough to pop on the phone with us. He's the host of Soccer Matters Tuesdays at 6, Destination 2026, which is Wednesdays at 6. And you can find him on X at Glenn Davis Sock, S-O-C. Glenn, my boy. All right, I'm ready for finally the World Cup to officially start tonight as we host Paraguay. Where do I need to put my money in this match so I can be rich and retire?
I am coming into this as an eternal optimist. I'm certainly thinking the United States is going to get a result against Paraguay. We kind of broke it down this morning, but I think the U.S. is going to get more of the ball here tonight. Chance creation is going to be a little bit more difficult against the Paraguayan team that's going to sit deeper and really stay compact. That's going to be the challenge for the U.S. And then secondarily, the challenge is going to be when the U.S. loses the ball, in that 2 or 3 seconds, they are going to have to be mentally sharp and prepared because they think there's going to be a lot of transitional play from Paraguay. And then those little moments where all of a sudden they flip it on you and they want to press a little bit. So a lot of little really cool, intriguing things about this, but put your money on the U.S. tonight.
All right. At even money, I'm in on that. What kind of brand of soccer are we going to see? I remember several years ago it was park the bus. We're not going to try to score. I wanted to strangle everybody involved for wasting my time watching it brand of football. Like, what are we going to see this year? Is it more of the same? And why do we do that? Are we just afraid of our damn selves?
You know, sometimes that's an easier way to coach teams. Sometimes it's based on the opponent. I don't think you're going to see that tonight. I think you got a U.S. team under Pochettino that likes to press in the different thirds of the field. Sometimes it's the middle third for specific reasons. Sometimes it's in the attacking third, which then can lead to the repress and immediate chances. So I don't think this is the typical sit back and defend United States team. Now, sometimes that happens organically if you're playing the likes of, you know, a Brazil or a Spain or a team like that, even Belgium, right? If you remember that World Cup, and I know you do. So, no, I think this is a very different U.S. team. I think some subtle changes that have been made, pushing Sergiño Dest higher. I really like that from Pochettino. And, you know, can they find space tonight? Because it's not going to be easy, and Paraguay hasn't been to a World Cup, I think, in 16 years. So this is like as big as it gets for that country right now heading into this game tonight.
What happens if we don't make it out of group play? And what are the odds of that happening?
I'm not even addressing that, Will. No chance. I'm not addressing that. No chance. That's not happening. That means Glenn Davis retires and never says a word about soccer again.
Oh, my God, that'd be horrible.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay, so then what is our ceiling?
I think the goal has to be, certainly, the quarterfinals or beyond. I know some people are out there going, oh, the U.S. doesn't. That's number one as a host nation. Number two, I think you got to really, really push to win the group, and that's why tonight is so important. Every game's important. But you've got a very good Turkey in this group. Australia's going to be physical with you. They're going to cause problems. So it's one game at a time, but you got to get off to a good start here tonight against Paraguay and get the country behind you. There's limitless opportunity here when it comes to spreading the connection of the game in the U.S. to what I would say are unique potentials, you know, unique people that really aren't into soccer yet, but out of these types of massive tournaments based on a result of a host country can end up really accelerating the sport in a way. And by the way, in a country where we have three other traditional sports.
You say that. Now, what about here in the city of Houston? What do the Dynamo need to do? What do the Dash need to do in order to say, hey, soccer's here even when the World Cup leaves? What do you think this city and that organization needs to do?
Yeah, I mean, they have things going on that are tied into the World Cup. I think you have to do that. I don't know if as a city we did that well enough. You know, the Astrodome over here, you know, you had three World Cup players in there less than a year after winning the World Cup in '66. There's ties to the World Cup here everywhere. Pelé played in Houston. Wim Serbier, who was on the Dutch team in the 74 World Cup. I think we have to lean a little bit more towards the authenticity of it. And the sport, certainly from the MLS and NWSL level, as not a platform for all these other things first. I would like to see the sport front and center so that we can say we're a soccer club.
Back to Team USA. What worries you about either the roster construction or the style of play with this team? And then who's a player to watch that could become a household name after this tournament?
Yeah, so I think the big concern now is probably around the goalkeeping position and the backs, right? Hopefully Chris Richards is going to be back in the lineup here tonight after the ankle injury that he suffered for Crystal Palace. Hopefully that steadies that down a little bit. That's the biggest area, I think, for us. I think we got a very hard-working, talented midfield that, listen, in the last World Cup outplayed the English midfield in a draw against England. Tyler Adams is going to be very, very important as a holding midfielder to protect the backs as well. Obviously, Christian Pulisic, I mean, look, he's the poster boy. He's the star man. He's coming off two good games. He's looked sharp. He's got to lead by example here tonight. The U.S. have got to get him the ball early and often if he's in space. And that's not going to be easy because it's going to be really compact and thick and heavy. And Paraguay's going to get guys around him, and they're going to kick him. So they're going to have to withstand the physical effort that occurs here tonight. But we mentioned Pulisic, but let me go to one of our strikers because I think two of them are coming in with a lot of confidence. We're coming into this in a way where the striker position looks good right now based on the last couple of friendlies and the two guys up there, Fowler and Balogun, who plays for Monaco, and then also Ricardo Pepi, who is an amazing story and a guy that just didn't make the World Cup team after scoring the goal that got us to it in the last one in Qatar, didn't make the team, kept quiet, got himself back on the team, and now he could be a pivotal piece.
What do you think the city has done in regards to the World Cup and the events, Fan Fest, et cetera? How do you think the city is handling it so far?
Well, Fan Fest looks darn good to me. I don't think that's an easy thing to put together. Got a lot of constraints. It's not easy. It looks like people are having a wonderful time down there. I think the other real big story for everybody, so sharpen your pencils, is that people are going to create their own environments around the World Cup. And you know, that could be grilling, that could be going to the Senate Avenue Brewing, that could be going to the Magnolia Ballroom, as I'm propping my sponsors here, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. You know, it could be a mix of a lot of things. It could be one day at the Fan Fest. It could be one day going to a game live. It could be, you know, now we're going to watch this weekend at home and we're going to grill. And if you got an Argentine friend who's grilling meat, don't turn that down.
Well, where are we going to find you? Where can people find you? I know Soccer Matters Tuesdays at 6 on ESPN Radio and Destination 2026 Wednesdays at 6. They can find you on X at Glenn Davis Sock. Where can they find you in person if they want to hang out with you?
Well, I'll be at some of those events. I am actually calling all the games for the World Feed, so I'm actually in the stadium right now. We just did a test run. And then I'll do a quarterfinal in Los Angeles. But that's all for the World Feed. It's not something that you can get in the U.S. It goes to other countries. So, you know, we're living the dream here.
Last question for you, and I'll let you go, as we're live here at Patterson Park in the Heights. Come out and hang out. Glenn Davison joining us, nice enough. Why is soccer not better than what it is in the most developed country, best country in the world?
Well, I think I mentioned it before, Will. I think, you know, when people bag on the U.S. because we're not better than in soccer, we also have to remember the amount of other traditional sports we have here, which, you know, Spain doesn't have the competition of NFL, NBA. You know, they play basketball there, and they are great athletically, but not to the degree it occupies and is a pastime and a participation and a lifestyle for people in America who love sports. So I kind of like to diffuse that because you have to put it in the right context.
Mm. Reasonable. You're a reasonable man, Glenn Davis.
Yeah, the thing I would say that is our biggest challenge now is player development in this country. We got the participants. you know, a lot of this is dependent upon a lot of different things, probably too deep to go into right now. But our country's player development, we should be producing three or four Christian Pulisics for a national team based on the money thrown at the sport, the amount playing it. We produce good, solid soccer players here, but we now have to provide opportunity to get, you know, to the next level. And that would take major structural change, and that would have to probably come from the gatekeeper of the game, U.S. soccer.
Glenn Davis, you're the best. I appreciate you letting me ask some fundamental, basic, nerd, soccer for dummy questions as we get ready for the World Cup tonight.
These are actually great questions, these are great questions, Will, because these are the ones that should be discussed, you know, not just behind the scenes in the soccer community, but that all should be discussed in mainstream media. So,
well, Glenn, I appreciate you. Have fun and enjoy this. I know this is you're probably your favorite time of year right now, every 4 years, I should say.
100%. Thank you, Will.
You're the best, Glenn. Soccer Matters airs Tuesday at 6, Destination 2026, Wednesdays at 6, and find Glenn Davis on X at Glenn Davis Sock, SOC. Drop off the K. Like that type of insight, Brian, I love, because I'm not a soccer aficionado. I watch soccer every 4 years, and I want to know why. Why is America not better? Because America is the best country in the world.
I think Glenn, not to give USA Soccer a complete pass, but I think Glenn nailed it. Like, other countries that are dominant soccer nations aren't sending top athletes to the NFL, to Major League Baseball. Now, it's, a lot of them do play high-level basketball. That basketball is definitely growing internationally as we see those games in the Olympics get closer. But, yeah, I think that's it. Their talent pool, even though smaller, is not as divided as ours.
It's reasonable. It makes sense. We're going to talk more about this. We'll get into the Texans as well, as we are live at Patterson Park all day today ahead of USA dropping the puck against Paraguay tonight at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we're giving away $500 to Republic Boot Company as well. You got to be here in person to register for that opportunity. This event is brought to you by Huntington Bank at Patterson Park. We got 40 TVs. We got 15% off of your tab if you wear gear for your team. USA. I don't want to see any other nonsense around here, all right? Team USA. Wear all of that. Great drinks, great food. We got full game audio as well. And these are big TVs. These aren't crappy little TVs, so you can't see the game. We're going to talk Texans. We're going to talk more soccer coming up after the break.
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Patterson Park. Here's Will Kunkel.
Saturday night, I walk downtown.
Let it wash, Americana. A little CCR.
Let's go.
That's Americana.
Only American music today here on Kicking It with Kunkel.
And AC/DC.
Like I said, only American music. We have hijacked that like we do anything when we want it. We're live at Patterson Park. ESPN Radio has hijacked this joint. But we're inviting you down here. Come on down. Hang out. We're giving away a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. The event is sponsored by Huntington Bank. You got to be on site to get that $500 gift card to Republic Boot. At least get your name in it. You don't have to be here for the drawing, which happens by 5:30. But we're here. They're open. We got drink specials. We got food specials. We got food from the Grove coming out so we can eat. Shout out to Lonnie, the owner here at Patterson's Park, as well as the Grove. Thank you again to Glenn Davis for joining the show via phone. He's out and about doing some things right now with the World Cup. He must just be a pig in mud right now. Like, this is it for him, man. This is it doesn't get any better.
No, this is the best month of every 4 years that I think he has professionally.
But even then, more so, because it's here. Not only in America, but it's here in Houston. Like,
yeah, he wasn't working what he's doing now the last time the World Cup was here in 94. Like, I think he because MLS didn't even exist yet. So, yeah, I he wasn't doing what he does now professionally, I don't believe, when it was last year in 1994.
My biggest request, as I talk to him about what kind of brand of soccer they'll be playing, or football, is I just don't want, like, don't bore me to tears.
Same, same.
Like, don't make a mockery.
Push forward.
Yeah,
I hate an effort. I hate when teams fall back into kind of a shell. It's almost like at times, to make a football analogy, it just becomes a lot of prevent defense.
Prevent defense, yeah, four corners.
It gets a little boring.
And my brother in last night, Mexico, almost started doing that. They were up 1-0.
That's 1-0. 1-0.
1-0. They were up 1-0. And then it was that South Africa was down to 10 players, then 9 players. And it was like all that Mexico was doing was kicking it behind the halfway line and just horsing around and wasting time. And it was like, guys, and the fans were booing because it's insufferable. It's boring as hell to watch.
I do get it, though. If you're up 2-0 and your opponent's down 2 players, like, there's no risk.
Bro, we've got 90 minutes to play the game. Play the game. Like, that's why I think, in part, there's a lot of reasons, and Glenn touched on this, why soccer isn't as popular in America and why we don't have the best players in the world playing. But I think part of why it's not as popular in America, one, the MLS isn't the best players in the world. That's like the first and foremost. And we don't have the best players in the world that are American. But also because America was built on like hard work and effort. And if you're going to sit there, flop and fake and roll around like the Brazilians do, and you're not going to try to score like a million goals and you're not trying to, America can't wrap their head around that. Like, the average American sports fan has to be explained to why park the bus is a thing. And why this thing that is the most popular game in the world, called the Beautiful Game, has to be, one, talked down to by the fans, and two, has to be explained why trying to score isn't a good thing. That's tough.
Like, sometimes, like, when it comes up that I'm not a huge soccer fan, well, people are like, well, do you like hockey? Because it's also low scoring. It's like, well, yeah, but they're constantly sprinting forward, they're constantly, you know, putting shots on the net, they're constantly trying to score, they're hitting each other. Obviously, the violence is, you know, most, well, other than football, maybe the most violent sport that we have. It's not an apples to apples comparison.
Hell no.
It's an apples to, not even oranges.
They're trying to score as many goals as humanly possible 100% of the time. It is the pace of an NBA game with the violence of a football game,
yeah,
corralled within a cage.
Yeah, like my problem with soccer, because sometimes people think, oh, well, you just don't like, you can't appreciate a 2-1 game. I can appreciate a 2-1 game if they're constantly going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when teams fall back and basically play the soccer equivalent of, you know, quarters and prevent, then it just gets a little boring.
I've never seen a baseball team up 2-0 being like, I'm good on this at bat. I'm not going to get on base. And then what do you want me to do, steal? Like, you think I'm going to try to score? I've never seen that.
I think that's the probably biggest disconnect. What you said just kind of registered me. Because when a team, in the limited amount of soccer I do watch, and I know it's not the same for every team. Some teams are more offensive-minded. But if a team gets up 2-0 in a game, like, they basically just stop playing. The game's over.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. But that, I think that is where, that's a, I think, a good way for me to verbalize like the disconnect of the way I look at sports versus the way internationally soccer is sometimes played. It's just the idea of 2-0 and we take our foot off the gas.
That's good enough. That's good enough, guys. That's good enough. And you can parlay this. I'm sure the communist out there, the socialist, will say that's American greed. Typical American greed. You want more?
I let the market speak for my offense, okay? The free market will decide how many runs I score, all right?
Say whatever you want, but the goal, if you got to play like the Knicks last night, what if the Knicks were just like, I mean, we're down 30. We're down 29 points. Like, let's just move on. Like, you're out there for the four quarters. You've got 48 minutes of basketball to be played. You might as well play them. See what happens. You never know.
Yeah, like, I don't mind if they were up 27 with 3 minutes to play. Sure, take out the starters.
But
like,
now, all of a sudden, here we are. The Spurs had the dumbest, as Charles Barkley said, it's the dumbest coaching he's ever seen in his life. Because they didn't continue to try to play the game the way that they needed to play in order to win.
I mean, there's definitely an argument to that. They were also just missing shots.
Yeah, but
they were missing shots.
They're taking dumb threes.
No, it's a young team. There's definitely going to be some of that as well. But, yeah, I think the disconnect for me is just the mentality of how quickly the foot is taken off the gas.
And that's where the disconnect is going to be with the American fan. And that's all I'm not asking. Like, I'm not being unreasonable as an American soccer fan right now because the World Cup is here. I'm not saying, hey, Like, we're hosting. We need to win this thing. If not, it's a failure.
No.
That's an insane take. That's unreasonable. It's not built in logic, and that's not smart.
How far do they have to get for you to be happy?
I don't care. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not pretending to know that I would like. Like, they got to get out. Based
they definitely
on what,
have to get out of the group.
Right. So, based
that's
on what Glenn Davis said, I'll take
he
my cues.
He went a step further with that quarterfinals.
Sure. And so I'll take my cues from the people that know what they're talking about, like Glenn Davis. My cues from Glenn Davis are that we got to get out of the group play. It's inexcusable if we don't. And we probably need to win one, maybe two matches after that. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm game with that. But in the midst of that happening, if you lose in the group play and in, we're not pushing, we're not attacking, we're not trying to score goals, I'll lose my damn mind and I'll swear soccer off for my life. If we lose...
Wow, in, that's on the line tonight.
Well, yeah.
The entire rest of your life,
why
soccer
do
fandom
I need to watch
is on the line tonight.
Not only lose, but not give a damn and put the effort in.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, put the effort into achieving the goal of goals.
The goal of goals, yes. That's a good way to put it.
So I don't care.
Like, it's a weird disconnect.
You don't need to entertain me as much as you need to... Like,
well, they
I
do
don't
need
really,
to entertain us. I mean, right, I feel like that's what mostly what we're saying is play an entertaining style of football.
It ends up being entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, a baseball game that ends 1-0 or 2-1, I'm good with not a whole lot of action per se, but because I know that they're trying to achieve
right.
the goal of runs.
Yeah, a pitcher's duel can be a beautiful thing.
Sure. Football, 3-0. Like, okay, like, I know that can be an ugly game, but,
ooh, I don't
you
know.
3-0.
I don't know.
Cloud of dust.
maybe not that extreme. Maybe not that extreme.
Low-scoring affair is
yeah,
not my
like
issue.
17-13 can be fine.
Yeah.
If it's hard-hitting defense and the play is good. It's not just sloppy.
I have a problem watching a team willingly go 3-and-out every time and just say, we're not really going to try to score points. We're hoping, like, we got a field goal kind of early, and that's it. That's all we're going to do.
That was – like. A complaint during the Bill O'Brien era at times. Like, they were just so willing to take the foot off the gas if they ever got a lead.
And that seems like a horrible way to try to play, but also seems like a horrible culture to build.
Yeah.
Like, that's no way. And I hope that's what I'm asking for American soccer. I'm not saying get to the semifinals or win the whole thing. I'm not saying I don't care really where you get as much as I care that, like, let's be American out there.
Don't bore us.
Don't bore us, but by default, you're not boring us if you're attacking. At least
yeah.
enough. Don't attack so much that it's stupid that
okay.
you're going to get countered on.
All right. And Sean may have to jump in on this one because I have kind of a hot take.
Love
soccer
it.
People hate it.
I love
but
that.
I wonder as a fellow soccer casual if you might be in on this.
Yeah.
As a way to open up the game and get more attacking, I wish they would get rid of it. They'll never do it, obviously. It's a pipe dream. It'll never happen in 1,000 years. Get rid of offsides.
So I have no problem with that. The problem
like, to me, like getting rid of or having offsides, is kind of like not having the fast break in the NBA.
But in hockey, here's the problem. In hockey, it's so much smaller and so much faster that the offsides in hockey doesn't play the role that it would play in soccer. So in soccer, like I don't need to see cherry picking. Like that would be horrible. Like that's not fun. That's like
yeah,
you get punched in the face, you do that the YMCA.
But if you have some guy just hanging out down at the other end, then there's a weakness on their own defensive end.
Right.
Like there's a trade-off there that teams would have to, you know, strategize how to
use. It seems like there's an extreme. It's almost like I'll take no offsides, but you can't be like 10 feet. You can be 9 feet, but not – you
sure.
know what I'm saying?
I'd be willing to accept that.
I don't want to see a guy 40 yards
ahead. No, I don't want a guy just
camping
out just on the other end. But there again, if he's just camping out on the other end, then he's weak. They're weakening their defense on the other side.
What are your takes, Sean? Because I think – and also, like, I'm a traditionalist at heart when it comes to sports. A lot of the change that baseball has made has been a very anti-traditional, and I've actually come around to it. I love the runner on second for regular season.
Wow, you're the guy.
Only for regular season because
okay.
it's actually
right.
just super entertaining, and you have to be entertaining to survive in this world. Mabes, what do you think about how can soccer become more popular in getting rid of maybe Brian's idea of offsides?
Yeah, the offside, you brought up cherry picking. I think that's what it would like kind of turn into is just kicking the ball from one side to the other to the cherry picker and just, you know, it becoming like that. Like, it in a weird way, it shrinks the field because you are just, like, going to, you know, all the way down and then all the way back. But I think that a lot of the, like, park the bus strategy you've seen from Team USA in the past, a lot of time that is just, like, talent deficit thing of just, hey, we can't play a wide open game because we'll get crushed if we do try that. So it's a little bit like a NCAA tournament team, you know, like for most of our lives, the USA's team has been in the realm of world soccer closer to like the 12 seed than they are, you know, actually Kansas or Duke being able to actually compete. So they need to do like a strategy
seed?
Like that.
12
Mapes hates America.
12 seed doesn't
have
a sniff.
Yeah. 12 beat fives a lot.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah, that's the you get that's one. Yeah.
That's the American equivalent though. He's kind
of
right.
I'm saying that 12 seed doesn't have a sniff of getting of like really getting the Final Four
or even the Team USA for our entire lifespan.
Now they're probably, I don't know, probably closer to like a 7-8 range.
7-10.
Yeah,
okay.
They're solid.
They're 7,
you know?
Is George Mason coming to
George
Houston.
Mason was an 11.
And they came here, right?
No. That was Butler and VCU.
Yeah, yeah.
But VCU was an 11.
Who was the final? Like, wasn't the Final Four here? Was that FGCU or something? That was like the worst
final. The first
four
Final
ever?
Four here. Well,
not
at least,
first, but the last
no, the
one. The first one at the Texan Stadium was VCU, Butler, Kentucky, and UConn.
But the recent one was also. It was like Miami, UConn. And then it was like FAU and
in Houston, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, FAU, yeah.
FAU and San Diego State.
San Diego State, that's right.
That's
San Diego State, FAU.
We could be San Diego State.
Terrible.
We could be San Diego State.
They had Kawhi once.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's Christian Pulisic, our Kawhi Leonard, 713-780.
I wouldn't put that
3776.
I want soccer fans or casual Mapes, how would you describe your soccer fandom?
Fairly casual. I'd say like
certainly more than me, right?
Yeah, I'd say like I think I've said this before. It's like I know enough about soccer to disappoint people who really know about soccer with how little I know. Like I can get into the conversation and then it just kind of zooms past me a little
bit. And yet you're my source of soccer knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we said
there's a hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah. We said it where in the break of like I'm okay being the backup to Glenn Davis fielding these questions. Glenn knows miles more than I do.
We were going to have Sean Mapes play the role of Glenn Davis last segment.
Yeah.
And thank God Glenn got back to us, said I can call
for
in.
Everyone involved.
Phew. Jeez. All right, so what's the ceiling real quickly, Mapes, before we go to break on this USA team?
Do you agree
with Glenn?
Yeah, I'm with Glenn that once you get past the quarterfinals, I have a hard time seeing the path there for this squad. But I do think that there's like some – like next-gen stats and analytics that are like, if they win this Paraguay game, they basically have like a 90% chance of getting out of the group just with how it sets up for them. So I think that getting out of the group, if they don't do that, it's like huge failure. It's almost to the level of 2018 where they didn't qualify. And then knockout rounds, they basically, since they expanded the field, you add a knockout round game. So you probably should win that one. And then you're kind of back to where Team USA always is like that first knockout game in years past is like where you kind of see like, oh, there's, you know, the Netherlands have an extra gear that we don't quite have yet.
If they get out of the playing game and they get into the elimination round, how many matches do they have to win the whole thing?
I think it's five.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So that's not happening.
Quarter, semis.
Obviously.
I know. Yeah, yeah, I think it's
five. So they got to win five matches after the
four
the
or five
pool
yeah.
play.
Yeah, it's okay. Tough. It's tough. It's the long. I mean, it's the longest tournament ever. Glenn dropped a stat earlier this week on Soccer Matters where there's going to be like 70 something group play games in this matches. And see, that's why I'm like a casual. So I called it games, not matches. There's like 70 something in group play this year. Argentina, when they won the World Cup in 2022, that was the 68th game of that World Cup. So there's more group play games than there
Why is that? They added that many teams.
Yeah, because they went from 32 to 48.
So what is this? This is the new like March Madness format?
Yeah, they expanded from 32 to 48. Yeah.
Just more money.
More money.
I didn't even know that, let alone get all sorts of pissed off like I am about college football potentially expanding. I mean, I'll rant forever.
Yeah, we're mad about a 2014 playoff. The World Cup's now 48.
And Italy? Hold on. Italy still couldn't get in?
Yeah, 3 years in a row they haven't been in.
What is their
deal? Or three World Cups in a row.
How do you not get in when the whole world's in?
I don't know. Curacao got in, but Italy couldn't.
That's what I'm like, how the hell is that possible?
I don't know.
Part of it is that they have to qualify out of Europe And so the pecking order, it's a little bit tougher than, you know, like Uzbekistan.
They should do like the World Baseball Classic if you have the faintest amount of heritage.
So it's like they play in the SEC of soccer. Meanwhile, Caracal's coming out of the Big 12.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
more like the Pac-12 at its current state.
It was an unnecessary shot. It was a very unnecessary shot.
It's okay. Sean and I are SEC now. We're all right with it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you guys
yeah,
are Texas?
Brandon might get offended, yeah.
Who's your fan? Who's
Texas,
your,
yeah.
Texas? Okay. Oh, Brandon would have. If yeah, that's a shot I should have taken. If
yeah,
Brandon,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, save that.
He would have been.
Sean and I were not offended in the slightest.
So you were like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tell him again.
Say it louder.
I've been saying this forever.
Yeah, for the
people, you know,
the
bummer is, you know what sucks is if they do get knocked out in the pool play, not only does the World Cup come to an end officially, but we won't get like that all like drama, pissed offness on TV forever because no one's going to really care at that level. Like is when the Cowboys lose in the first round again or won't make the playoffs. It's like the entertainment that follows is kind of fun to watch, that train wreck that ensues. That's not going to happen with this. It's just going to be like,
I mean, they went 0-3 in group play.
Yeah, but it's only going to last for like 24 hours. Then we're going to move on to
that's true.
To whatever
that's true.
Else. That's like it's true. Just, it's, and I think that's probably another portion of, you know, American soccer and the pitfalls of it. All right, we got to get to break. We are live at Patterson Park. We are here all day long. I'm Will Kunkel. This is Kicking It with Kunkel. This watch party is brought to you by Huntington Bank. We're giving away $500 to Republic Boot Company. You got to get your ass in here, though. You got to put your name on a piece of paper in order to register for a chance to win $500 to Republic Boot Company. If you've ever been in there, they do custom boots. They do a whole bunch of stuff. They got a bar in there that you can drink, and it's free because it's not a restaurant, so they can't charge you. So you can go in there and drink them dry, and they can't do anything about it. So that's pretty sweet. But come to Patterson Park. You get 15% off of your tab if you wear anything that is affiliated with World Cup soccer and supporting your team. I think I hit on all that. We got food, we got drink, we got all that. Find me on TikTok, Instagram, my show on YouTube, Kicking It with Kunkel. We'll be back after this. We're going to dive into the Texans and what you should expect from your Houston Texans next.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, because the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next.
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Patterson Park. Here's Will Kunkel.
Got that right.
I think I broke banks right before we came back on air.
I think I'm about to start crying. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here comes your eye.
Welcome inside Kicking It with Kunkel. Patterson Park, live all day.
Wow, the tone got serious.
Yes. This is America.
It's kind of like you're doing your Jim Nance Masters voice almost.
Hello, friends. You got a margarita?
No, it's a whiskey and lemonade.
How did you get that cocktail yesterday?
Yeah, that's my thing.
How was it?
Very good.
Yeah, with the blackberry?
Yeah, with the blackberry and the lemonade. Joe made fun of me because it came out kind of pinkish.
Oh yeah, I would make fun of you.
Yeah, sure. I know you would have.
Sissy boy.
You're not a good person. So.
No, yeah, I agree with that. It's a great song. Good pick, Mapes. Good for you. We're listening to American songs all day long here on ESPN Radios. We're live at Patterson Park. Come on down, hang out, get a chance to win $500 to Republic Boot Company. Huntington Bank is sponsoring this event as well, and you can get 15% off your tab if you wear any of your fan garb. We got food specials. We got drink specials. They got a family discount, like platter of amazing food as well. Super pumped about that. So come on down, hang out. Let's talk about the Texans. We've talked a lot about Team USA and what we're going to see with them and the expectations. I put down money on USA to win. Glenn Davis convinced me that we will get what is called a result.
You're a proud American.
Yeah. I'm American. Yesterday I was
These
Mexican.
Colors don't run.
No, hey. Hell no. Yesterday, I was Mexican. Today,
yeah, no.
I'm American.
What will you be tomorrow? Have you figured it out?
I guess
it depends where your money goes, huh?
If you're Asian when you go in the bathroom and you're Russian when you come out, what are you while you're in there?
I don't even know where I can go with that one.
European.
Oh, man. Okay. Well done.
Thank you
for the dad joke. Thank you for the dad joke.
Here all week, here all day. We're here all day at Patterson Park. I'll be running, kicking it with Kunkel from noon, and we started. We're going till 3, so we got an hour and 10 minutes to go. That's 70 minutes for all of you counting. Call in, text in, 713-780-3776. You can find me on TikTok. We're live right now on YouTube as well. What are your expectations for this Texans team? Do you – like, where do you – we talk about the ceiling
rinse,
for Team
repeat.
USA. Huh?
Rinse, repeat.
So not
yeah, like 11, 12 wins and short of the Super Bowl.
What do you think the like, how do you think they could – what needs to happen for them to either pass that, overcome that, or what goes wrong where the season falls apart? Like, how do you see the DNA of this team?
Well, I guess to answer the first part, like, how do they get past that? I think the only way I see them getting past that is if CJ becomes a player that is – can be more than just a game manager, and he wasn't even that last year because he fumbled
not in the
ball.
Playoff. Not in the playoffs.
Yeah, he fumbled the ball 5 times against the Steelers, 4 first half interceptions against the Patriots. We all remember those. But he has to become, because this is part of what we talked about yesterday. Like in that first round, you're facing a lot of teams. Like in year one, it was Joe Flacco and the Browns. Year two is Justin Herbert, who always pees down his leg in the playoffs. Then last year was Aaron Rodgers at 90 years old. You're going to face a lot of teams that. The Texans, because of how strong their defense is, could just physically bully them and win on that alone. But when you get past that opening wild card round, the offense is going to have to make plays for you to advance and get to where you ultimately want to be. CJ has to become a player that can do that against really good defenses. I'm not optimistic that'll be the case, but that will be, to me, what changes their fortunes from, well, we know they're one and done, to actually advancing to a conference championship or a Super Bowl.
So typically... in the NFL, you go as far as your quarterback takes you. Like that's how teams are built. Your best player is the quarterback. It's the most important player. The best teams have the best quarterbacks. That's not the case with the Texans.
Last year's Super Bowl champion with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but...
if you want to make the positive Texans case, I mean, probably pointing at Sam Darnold winning the Super Bowl.
Well,
in a year which he led the league in turnovers.
The reason I say that is because, like, Sam Darnold in the offense was pretty freaking good. Like, they weren't bad.
They definitely got better in the postseason,
Yeah, like,
and Jackson
he
Smith and
made
Jigba was
freaking
really,
plays.
Really freaking good.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold made plays. Like, he was not a game manager. He was much more than a game manager. I'm not saying he was a top five quarterback or something, but, like.
Yeah, he was top.
He made
he
plays.
He was top half.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when he got to the postseason.
Minimum.
He played better in the postseason than the regular season.
He was the reason they won at times. Like, he and that offense were certainly reasons at times that they won and put themselves in position to win.
I'm trying to think of a specific playoff game where I believe that. I mean,
I believe he had an unbelievable
certainly
third
not the
down
Super Bowl.
Throw
Ken
for
Walker,
a touchdown.
Ken Walker and the defense were the reason they
sure,
won the Super
sure.
Bowl. But, yeah, no, that's not to discredit Sam Darnold because he played well last year. But still, I mean, because if we're talking about CJ coming off the end of the season he did where he had 9 turnovers in 2 games, you might be willing or might be wanting to point at, well, Sam Darnold led the league in turnovers, and that team still won a Super Bowl. So that would be the glass-half-full case, I think, for the Texans.
Serrano Lux Sports Cards on my TikTok says the offensive line will be a difference maker. They certainly will be, one way or the other. Like, they will kind of,
yeah,
in part,
sure.
dictate what happens to
can
this
can they be
season.
More than run blockers? That'll be a question.
Yeah. Can they be consistently good at anything? That's the thing. Is that I don't need them to be great. I don't need them to dominate the line of scrimmage. Can you just be consistently good? Not good here, versus bad now, because the problem with the ups and downs is that it puts CJ in a position to where he doesn't have any trust, and he doesn't know when the blocking is going to be there. So then when the blocking is there, he's already kind of flushed out mentally because – he just got sacked 5 times.
Do you think he got gun shy last year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too.
But not because
not David Carr.
I don't think
levels,
it's his fault.
But,
I
guess the question becomes: although you're right that it's not his fault, although he was in charge of the offensive protections this last year, so I would
you're
say
not in charge of like executing a guy not.
No,
getting beat.
But he wasn't. He was in charge last year of calling the protections.
Allegedly.
But I think beyond that, like regardless of whose fault it is that he got to the point where he's gun shy. I've always kind of felt like once a quarterback gets to that point, there's not really a coming back from it.
It's hard. It's hard.
So I guess that's my question to
you.
Like, do you think he could come back from that?
You know, I always – it's a tough – it's like if your spouse continuously cheats on you.
Yes.
And it's like
– why would I trust
then
you?
Then she goes out to dinner, and you're like, I know who you're with. He's like – she's like, I am not. And then FaceTimes you and proves that she's out with the girls. It's like, oh, okay. And she's like, what's wrong with you? Like, What the, I mean, nine out of ten times you go out. Nine out of ten times I drop back, I get sacked. So that's, you know, I'm a little gun shy, and I don't put that on Stroud. I just don't.
First off, get divorced. Second off, maybe they need a quarterback.
Move on. Find yourself a good woman. Find someone that's going to protect you. But the reason I bring up the aspect of usually you go as far as your quarterback takes you, that's not the case with the Texans, not because of CJ, because the way that the team is built, you go as far as the defense takes you. So, like, that's how this team is built. And then you go as far as the offense allows.
Yeah, this defense, although they actually ended up finishing second in points allowed. I still think they were the best defense.
They
in the
only
league
finished
last year.
Second because they rested guys against the Colts, and they finished, I believe, a tenth of a point or a point behind Seattle.
Like point one, it's like 17-9 to 17-8 or something
monitoring,
like that.
I remember week 17-18. I was at the Texans game monitoring it in the press box, both games, seeing this is what needs to happen for them to finish number one, number two, and. As soon as they gave up, I believe a Jonathan Taylor touchdown or whatever it was.
Yeah, because they basically didn't try in the second half. Yeah, they went full
soccer. They benched everybody.
They went full soccer and full the starters for the callback there. Like, I as great as this defense is, because it was the best Texans defense we've ever seen, and this Texans team has had good defenses over the years, even when they've been sometimes bad teams. But I don't think as good as they are, that's enough to get where we want them to
be. It's not
enough. Like, for you to say their goal as far as the defense will take them, well, that, I think, will leave us disappointed.
I agree. Which leads me to the question I was going to ask with that whole lead-in is, who's the X factor on this team? And I think it's fair to say it's CJ.
Yeah, I feel like we almost have to say excluding CJ because the answer is pretty obvious.
But I don't think you can because I think – but the reason that, like, yes, it's obvious for this team, there's no – Super Bowl contending teams with the X factor is your quarterback.
I feel like if I'm forcing myself,
and if there's one, it's the Seattle Seahawks, I suppose. But like after that,
I mean, they just
Josh Allen's not the X factor. Patrick Mahomes not the X factor.
Sure, Lamar Jackson's not
the
X
factor. Yeah, he's the reason. He's the engine. Yeah. They're the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm forced to think outside a quarterback, and this kind of goes to a conversation we had yesterday, where I think I was more pessimistic about the offensive weapons besides Nico Collins. Now, I know this is asking a lot for a guy coming off of a horrific injury 2 years ago.
Tank.
But I think it's Tank. Like, if Tank is...
There's no way. It's got to be Higgins or it's got to be Knoll. Like, those guys are going to have much more.
That's definitely more realistic. But let's say, hypothetically, Tank is 85% of what he was his rookie year. And you also get the year two leaps from Higgins and Knoll. That suddenly could turn into a group of wide receivers that I'm pretty excited about. And I think could unlock a different CJ. Because CJ, we can't forget, like, I mean, not that I don't think it's hand-in-hand, well, he didn't have Tank, that's the reason why his numbers have gone down. But when he was at his best is when he had Tank Dell on the field.
Yeah, but everyone else was just kind of at their best, too.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's the reason, but it's a part of it.
I wouldn't say Tank is the X factor. I would say Tank would be the key to, like, putting it over the top, maybe. Like, the extra ingredient that makes whatever that damn good. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Like, CJ much more the X factor, of course. And then someone we know what we're getting from, like Nico, not the X factor. But someone that we know is going to play, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll, maybe those are the X factors. Or David Montgomery. Or even someone like Keelan Rutledge at the center position of, like,
If that guy can figure out
how to run block, pass block, identify protections, and, I mean, identifying the mic is super easy. If he can do that role at a good level, not even an elite level, here's the thing. Arianta Urseri ended up being a pretty good left tackle. Not great, pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think he'll develop into a pretty good, certainly very good, is possible or even great. You know, I don't know. Like, what's great? Hall of Fame, he's like, I don't know that he's going to be that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
cart before the horse there.
But a year-in, year-out starter left tackle.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But he had problems. He had growth spurts that he had to go through and growing issues and growing pains. And that's going to happen with Rutledge, too. It's going to happen with any rookie at any position in any sport. So, Keelan Rutledge, as hopefully he's good, but he's not going to be good all the time. He's going to be a rookie. So, you got to live with that.
Yeah, it's not a position. Like, he was their emergency center at Georgia Tech, and he worked at it at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. But there's still, like you said, with Arianta Urseri, there's going to be a learning curve.
Like, we all have positive feelings of Ursary, right? Like, he had a good year.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all good all the time.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
That's just the way it works.
But if Keelan Rutledge, I think you're onto something there. If Keelan Rutledge is a net positive at center, not just, you know, he's better than some of the bums they've played in the interior offensive line the last few years, but he's actually like a positive, like I don't know what you would call that, like on the PFF grade. Let's, I don't know, in the 70s, whatever would be like kind of the plus starter. It doesn't have to be a Pro Bowl, doesn't have to be an All-Pro, but he's a plus starter at center. That completely changes the way I think about the offensive line.
In my opinion, we have not talked about the most important person, though, for this team, and we're going to do that on the other side of the break. The most important person,
Jamie Fairbairn, I get it.
Unfortunately, that's kind of true. is Nick Caley. So I ask you this question, and the viewers and listeners, I ask you this as well to rest on this, let it wash over you during the break. Is if C.J. Stroud or Keelan Rutledge, whoever, is the X factor, and the defense is the engine, what is Nick Caley? What role is Nick Caley to this team, the Houston Texans, and where they want to go this season? Think about that. We are live at Patterson Park as fans are starting to walk in here. We got 15% off your entire tab if you wear anything American or whatever country you're supporting. Joe George.
Joe George is in
the
building. I thought
I smelled something, just walked in the building. He's
said we're number one.
He said we're number
one.
What a sweet soul. What a sweet, sweet boy.
What a sweetheart.
Come on down. You can get $500 to Republic Boot Company, as this party is sponsored by Huntington Bank. I am a Huntington Bank member, so I feel pretty cool sitting next to this huge banner. We're at Patterson Park in the Heights. Come on down. We got food, drinks. We got specials. We got all of that for you. And you can meet Joe George. He's a big hugger. So come on down. Give him a hug. Even a peck on the cheek. He'll have no problem with that. Come on down. We're here all day as the USA officially starts the World Cup tonight at 8 o'clock, ESPN Radio. This is Kicking It with Kunkel. Let that wash over you. If C.J. Stroud is the X factor and the defense is the engine of this Houston Texans team, what is Nick Caley to this team? You can call in. You can text in as well and be part of the conversation. 713-780-3776.